Amen. Because I never turn that off. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in church? Amen. Go with me to John chapter 15 and verse 8. This is part 3 of our series on producing fruit. I want to produce fruit in my life. It's better when you have fruit. It's easier. It's more fun. It's happier. It's more blessed. Praise God. You make a bigger impact for God. Father, thank you for the word this morning. Lord, I already know that if we share the word, growth will happen. Change will happen. People will be better for being here. So, Father, I thank you for it. Father, there are things that need to be said, things that need to be done. And, Lord, they are in your mind, in your heart. You know them. So, Father, I pray that your will would take place in this service. Father, as I open my mouth, I thank you that you'll fill it with words from heaven. Make my tongue like the pen of a ready writer, speaking words in season, what people need to hear, when they need to hear it. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, that it'll be preached with boldness and utterance. Father, we'll get our help here this morning, and we thank you for it. Father, we just are here in expectation of what you'll do, what you'll say to us, what you'll have for us. So, Father, we give you the praise beforehand. We thank you for hitting bullseyes in people's hearts this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, John chapter 15 and verse 8 says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." I think pretty much everybody's been here. So the review, I'm going to kind of keep it light. You can go back online if you need to. But the Lord wants you to bear much fruit, praise God. He wants you to bring forth good things. And you say, well, what is the fruit that the Lord wants us to bear? Well, it told us over there in 2 Peter. We don't need to turn there. But it says that he wants us to have grace and peace to be multiplied in our life. He says that he wants us to have all things that pertain, everything that we need, everything that would pertain to this life and godliness. What's he talking about? The natural needs being met, natural things being provided for us, and all things that pertain to a spiritual life, which would be things with him, increase with him, going forward in his kingdom. And so he says, I want you to have all these things. He said, the thing about it is he says, I've already provided it. And that becomes kind of alarming to people at times because they say to themselves, well, if he's already provided it, why aren't I seeing the healing? Why don't I have the money? Why don't I have the favor? Why aren't I hearing the wisdom and all these things? Well, if they've already been provided and he said he wants us to produce fruit, think about fruit, think about vegetables, think about harvest time. Everything that a farmer needs to have a great harvest on the earth, to have a great cornfield, to have a great garden, a personal garden, a vineyard, everything's already on the earth. Amen? But the fruit doesn't come forth, the vegetables, the harvest doesn't come forth until there's a process that's followed. And remember, they're over there in 1 Corinthians 3. Told you we're going to be kind of fast with this, not look at different places just to kind of get through it. He called us something, didn't he? He said, we're his vineyard. We're his field. We're his garden. Well, what do field, vineyards, and gardens do? They produce harvest. They produce fruit. They produce blessings. And how many of you know, just like a farmer might have a good, nice field, you might have a nice place out back to plant a garden. It doesn't matter that there's even a seed. Doesn't matter that there's ground. Until something happens with the seed and the ground, the fruit doesn't get produced. And so a lot of Christians are barren. What do I mean by they're barren? They're born again and they're going to heaven, but life is not abundant. It's hell on earth. Their minds are messed up. Their emotions are messed up. Physically, they're a mess. Financially, they're a mess. It's stress and chaos. That is not the life that Jesus died to give you. Jesus died to give you abundant heaven on earth life. Say, how do I get it? That's what the fruit is. That's what we're trying to show you how to get that. Well, there's a process that needs to take place, and that process is found in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 14 is where we find the parable of the sower. And we see here in Mark chapter 4 and verse 14, the Bible says that the sower sows the word. Just like a farmer sows the seed, the sower, which that's me this morning, sows the word. I'm the spiritual farmer. You're the spiritual ground. Amen? And I'm sowing unto you, just like a farmer would. And so when I sow the word, it falls onto the ground, which that's what you are. And it says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown when they have heard. So hearing the word is when the word falls on the ground. It says, Satan comes immediately, takes away the word that was sown in their heart. So the Bible says the word didn't have any effect, didn't have any change on that ground. In verse 16, it says, and these are likewise which are sown on stony ground. But when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But they don't have root in themselves, and they endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises, for the word's sake, they are offended. And so the word came to naught in that ground as well. And so we see two grounds so far where the word goes forth, not producing anything. In verse 18, it says, these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things enter in, and it chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. There it is again, another ground that heard the word and didn't get anything out of it. And it says that these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it, and they bring forth fruit. That's what God wants. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But notice this, that the only way they brought forth the fruit, what's the fruit? Everything you need that pertains to spiritual and natural, pertains to life and godliness, he told us. And those verses, again, you can look on live stream. We talked mostly about those on the first week and did a little review last week. But notice that the fruit, for that fruit to come forth, just like for the corn to come out of the ground, right? For the stuff to come out of your garden, out of the ground, there has to be a process. There has to be ground, and then there has to be seed that goes into the ground to let the process take place. Praise God. And he says when the seed is sown on the good ground, just like when a farmer sows it on good ground. Remember we've talked about corn seed. That's real good, juicy, sweet corn. If you take that same seed that you enjoyed that corn from and you sprinkle it out in the parking lot, or you say, this is ground. This is ground. I just need to get the seed on ground. You can throw it on the carpet. It's not going to do anything. But if you put that seed into good ground, it's going to produce some things. And the Bible says here that when the seed falls on good ground, it produces. But notice this. You can't produce fruit without the Word of God.
Amen.
It's the one common denominator in this whole thing is that the Word. The Word causes the fruit to be produced. Amen?
Amen.
And we saw this, that the seed of the Word is perfect. There's nothing lacking in that seed. That seed is so perfectly engineered for growth, for blessing, for health. It's the Word. It's perfect. Amen? And yet, the Bible says that people don't receive, and they heard they had that seed fall on them. Well, why? Doesn't matter if great seed falls on ground. It's got to fall on good ground. And we saw that the seed will work according to the ground that it's sowed on. Amen? And I see it as a pastor all the time. Preach the same messages. Preach the same word. Tell people the same advice. Some people bring forth fruit. Some people stay barren. What's it come down to? Not the word, not the sower. It comes down to the ground. Amen? Well, we want to endeavor to be good ground. Praise God. Hallelujah. And isn't it interesting that they all heard, they all had the opportunity for that growth, but only one-fourth got anything out of the precious word of God. I've never said it this way, but you could say it this way. That would mean that 75% of Christians are living on planet Earth beneath what God has for them. Yeah. Now I know why Dr. Dufresne said that the Lord told him that, I can't remember the percentage, it was 90-some percent of his Christians, his children, are living well below what I have provided for them. Well, we already know by this that at least 75% of them are. Because they're Christians hearing the word, but they're not getting anything out of it. But then even in the good ground, now that makes sense to me. The good ground, it says 30, 60, and 100-fold. Well, God wants you to produce 100-fold. So if some Christians are even only producing 30 and 60, the percentage from 75 would go up into probably the 90s. Now I know why the prophet said that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I want to be the remnant. I want to be one of the small percentage that gets it. And let me tell you something. It's not hard. Because a lot of people think, well, there's no way I can do this. It's hard. It's not hard. God made it simple, made the word simple so his people could receive. Amen? Hallelujah. The devil's twisted it. Your mind has twisted it. Maybe religion has made it hard. It's not hard to bear fruit with God. In fact, it's simple. I tell people, your steps to your greatest life ever. Most people won't follow it. Number one, get born again. That's easy. Number two, plant in a local church. What's that mean? Be there.
Amen.
And then the word you hear when you're planted, just do it.
Amen.
And you know what happens when you do that? Fruit comes out.
Amen.
But most people won't do it. They don't plant. Not here. Doors are open. They're hardly here. Yeah, I'm telling you the truth. Don't plant. Hear the word. Don't do the word. Where's the fruit? Where's my money? You didn't do the word on money. Why is my faith not working? Well, check up on your love walk. You're not doing the word. Just do the word. Just do it. It's not hard. Your mind has made it hard. The thoughts you've taken about the devil and the fear that you have to do the word and life's gotten busy and chaotic and it keeps you from this place and thoughts keep you from this place. That's what's made it hard. His plan is so simple. Three steps to your best life ever. Saved, plant, do. That's it. Everything changes from there. Hallelujah. Praise God. So that's what we're trying to get you into. Trying to get you into the good ground. And I'm not going to go over the ground we looked at last week. You can go over that. Go to verses 16 to 17. Let's go on today to part 3. Why do I say it's easy? Because it is easy. And trying to let you know, wake you up. Life can change. Life can change for you. When the fruit of God and the Bible and the Word starts coming to pass in your life, it gets good. When finances become simple and blessings and unexpected blessings and favor and protection and healings and revelations from Him and spiritual growth and things, life becomes so fun. Life is not fun for a lot of people. Life is fun for me. Well, you're a pastor. Big whoop. I gotta wake up and do the Word and have faith just as much as you do. The same devil's after me that's after you. But I just choose to do what He says and be where He says to be, do what He says to do, and then all of a sudden, magically happens, like when a farmer is just dumb enough to go out to his field, throw seed in the ground, it just pops up out of the ground. Wow! That's the process. Forgive me for my animation. Got to make up for this voice somehow. I'm making up for the voice with the body motions. Praise the Lord. Verse 16. No, I just had a thought. People come to me, you know, and they'll say this, that, and this, that, and the other thing. And I'll say, what do you want me to do for you? You're not faithful. You don't go to church. Why do you expect to have favor? You don't do the word. Why do you expect your money to work out? Why do you expect this? Like, there's got to be a cooperation here. There's going to be people that can be stand before Jesus, stand before God, the great white throne judgment, not the one that the throne judgment that we're going to be in front of. We're going to heaven, not be judged for heaven and hell. There's going to be people judged for heaven and hell. And they're going to say, well, I don't understand why I have to go to hell. And God's going to look at them cross-eyed. Say, remember that person that told you that Jesus was the only way and my word said it was the only way and you rejected Jesus? He's not going to let them in. Why? Because they didn't cooperate with the process. And so many Christians are blaming God, blaming the church, blaming this, blaming my situation, blaming my husband, blaming my spouse, blaming my... Sorry for the utterance, but not sorry. And they're blaming everything for why it's going the way it is in their life. Why it's going downhill, why it's frustrating. Why am I still going around the same mountain of frustration every year? Why does it never seem to work? You don't cooperate with what God said. I'm saying that in general. I'm not speaking to specific. I'm just saying in general. That's what people do all the time. I'm like, really? I hear what comes out of your mouth. That's not cooperate with what. I see how you treat people. That's not. I see your face once every 5-6 weeks. You think it's going to work? It's not going to work. That's not going to work. And these are they likewise, which are on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves, and they endure but for a time afterward. When affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So now we're going to look at the stony ground. And what are we doing? We're looking at this ground and we're seeing in our own life, does it pertain to us? Are there characteristics of the wayside ground last week that are in our life? If so, we make an adjustment. We tweak it, right? We look at the word here today and we see, okay, this is what the characteristics, this is what the Bible says about the stony ground. We got to make sure we're not stony ground. Amen? Hallelujah. So the Bible says for the stony ground, that tribulation and persecution, that's test and adversity, will arise for the word's, don't miss this, for the word's sake. Remember what it said in verse 14. It said that sower sows the word. That says in verse 15, these are they that sown by the wayside. Where the word is sown, Satan comes immediately. Why does Satan want to get the word out of your life? Because the word is your weapon. The word is the tool that causes you to grow. It's the seed. It's the weapon. It's the sword of the Spirit. It drives the enemy back. When the devil was harassing Jesus, what did he use to drive the devil back? The word. Why is he trying to get the word out of your life? Because then you don't have a weapon. You can't go on the offensive. So many people do not have the word in their life. They just don't. Amen. Hallelujah. And so you have to understand that the tests and the trials will come to get you off the word any way that it can. Now, the tests and trials will come to get you either to back off the word or to keep you from doing the word. And I'll show you those today. Go with me real quick let's go to Mark chapter 5 and verse 1. Now remember, the word causes growth. The word causes increase. The word causes change. The word makes you a weapon. The word makes you dangerous. Amen?
Amen.
It says, they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, now get this. When Jesus came out of the ship immediately, that means he stepped on dry land and there was someone there. Immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. What's that mean? He was possessed of the devil. Who had his dwelling among the tombs and no man could bind him. No, not even with chains. Why? He had supernatural demonic power. They couldn't even stop him with chains, supernatural strength. Because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Now look at this. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of God Most High? I adjure you by God that you torment me not." What's that devil doing? That devil knew that Jesus... The devil knew that Jesus knew who he was. And he saw Jesus and he was terrified. He said, "Don't torment me, don't torment me. I know you have authority. I know, don't torment me." For he said, verse 8, for Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" Now he's talking to the spirit, not the man here, the demon. He said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. See, they didn't want to go away. Wanted to stay right there where they were comfortable. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us in the swine that we may enter them." And Jesus gave them leave, permission, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine or the pigs, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done. And they come to Jesus and seen him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Well, why? Because they had heard stories. We can't do anything with this guy. Send him way out in the country. He's out in the chains, out in the tombs, cutting himself. No man can bind him. This guy's a nightmare. Now he's sitting in his right mind. It terrified them. And they saw it, and they that saw it told them how this happened to him. That he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, that he cast the devil out into the pigs, and the pigs went over the hill. They're gone. And they began to pray, "Depart out of our coasts. Leave us alone." They couldn't understand what was going on. That's amazing that good things that happen spiritually, people that aren't in tune with it, will be wigged out by it. Here, a great thing just happened, and they couldn't understand it. We don't like this. We're uncomfortable with this. Yeah. And it says, when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed or requested him that he would be with him. He wanted to go with Jesus. Well, wouldn't you? He set him free, praise God. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not or didn't allow him to go with him. But he said unto him, "Go home to your friends. Tell them the great things." Ooh, I got chills. "Tell them the great things the Lord has done for you and has compassion on you." Now look at this. And he departed and began to publish, to preach, to proclaim in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. I say, what are you telling me this story for? Well, here was Jesus, got here to this other side, did something that caused a man to be set free. The devil's kingdom took a hit this day. And then the devil's kingdom took a hit when he went around publishing and proclaiming, this is what Jesus did for me. I'm free now because of Jesus. So that would turn people on to Jesus. Devil's taking another hit. Devil's taking another hit. Why am I telling you that? Well, remember this. That the word does what? Causes fruit to produce. The word is packed with power. Well, what does the Bible say that the devil tries to do? Take the word. Why? Take the word, take the growth. Amen?
Amen?
Well, let's see here. Now, if the devil had somebody possessed with one of his demons, don't you think that the devil knew that this guy was here?
Yeah.
Absolutely, the devil knew that that guy was here. He was the one possessing him. Well, now go with me to Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Woo-wee. Oh, man, I'm happy. The same day when evening was come, he said unto them, what's that mean? The word of God went forth. What happens when the word of God goes forth? It has the ability to produce. What did he say? Let us pass to the other side. Now, if you haven't read chapter 5 like we did, you don't know the significance of the other side. Yeah, it was where Jesus was going, but what was going to happen on the other side? A miracle, sign, and a wonder that was going to spread all throughout the region and give the devil and his kingdom a black eye and set somebody free. Well, the devil, we read about the stony ground. People get excited about the word. And there's no doubt when the disciples, when he said, okay, boys, let's get in a boat to go. They're happy we're going on a Salem trip with Jesus. We're going to the other side. What waits us on the other side? My God, we've seen some good things. We're going to the other side. Amen. No doubt about it. And what does the Bible say about the stony ground afterward? When affliction or persecution, tests and adversities arise for the word's sake. What's it saying? Tests and trials come to try to pull the word or to make the word so it can't go forth or produce. Well, let's see if that's true. He said unto them, let's pass to the other side. That was the word. That was the word that was meant to produce fruit. And when they had sent away the multitude, now remember, the devil knows Jesus is a demon casting out Jesus. Jesus is on his way to this man that the devil has bound, that the devil has hurt, that the devil has tormented, that the devil has tortured. Devil knows Jesus is on his way. Why? That's where the guy is. He meets him right when he gets off the boat. Well, what happens? Remember, the word goes forth, then tests come. And verse 37, I'll go to verse 36 first. They sent away, the multitude took them as even the ship. They're also little ships. Verse 37, there it is. And there arose. What did Pastor Mike say about the stony ground? That persecutions, tribulation arise for the word's sake. All of a sudden, there arose a great storm. What's a great storm? A persecution, a test, and a trial. Now, why would a persecution and a test and a trial rise for the word? What was the word? We need to get to the other side.
Yeah.
We're going to the other side. So what's that test coming for? The word. To do what? Either get them back off the word, which would be what? Go back to the other place. Or to drown right in the middle of the lake.
Yeah.
There arose a great storm of wind. Now, I don't need to read the rest of the story. We know Jesus calmed the storm. They got to the other side. Bam! This guy gets dealt with. Jairus' daughter gets raised from the dead. The woman with the issue of blood. I mean, things just started popping.
Amen.
And the devil knew it the whole time. Oh, God, if he comes in contact with that woman. Oh, God. All these things. No. Devil comes for the word's sake. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If you don't recognize, go back to Mark 4 and verse 17. Have no root in themselves, endure but for a time. After when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. There goes the word. If you don't recognize that tests, trials, persecutions, adversities are going to come your way, and you don't realize why they're going to come your way, you'll be taken out and you won't produce fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. It's true. Praise God. Amen. We see it here in this verse. How about, we don't need to take time to turn that, but what about Acts chapter 16? What about when Paul had a vision in the night to go over to Macedonia? Well, wherever Paul goes, he brings help, deliverance, healing, and prosperity and victory and, you know, all those good things that the word would bring. He goes over into Macedonia. What happens? Cast the devil out of somebody. And then what happens? A test arose. A trial arose. A persecution arose. And what? They ended up in prison for doing what they did. For why? The word's sake. To what? I mean, what would you think if you all of a sudden were free, everything was good, you went to a town, you got the snot kicked out of you. I think I'm done here. Well, he gets the snot kicked out of him in Macedonia. Why? Because God told him, go to Macedonia. What's that mean? If God told him to go to Macedonia, things are about to happen there. Amen. Change is about to happen there. So what? Let's beat the snot out of him. Let's have a test and trial up to get him a rise to either back off that or kill him. Well, Paul said, I ain't going nowhere. Praised and prayed his way out of that prison and went on and did the work of God. But what happened? The word came and a test rose up. Amen. If you're going to go forward in God, if you think it's going to be unopposed, you're fooling yourself. But I see this take so many people out of what God has for them. Yeah. I see a lot that he'll work on. This happened in the Allegheny Church not too long ago. When we started the church in the new building, it was like sweeping through the congregation that hell on earth was just popping up in people's lives. Physical things, financial things, just... And it was like, just happening. Why? The word just got put in Allegheny. Yeah. And what the devil wants people to think is, you know, I started going to that church and things started getting worse in my life. I think I'm going to back out of that Macedonia. I think we don't need to go to the other side, Jesus. We need to go back to the shore. Well, we know that continuing in Macedonia and continuing to the other side, that's where the fruit was. Yeah. Right. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. You know, as a young man, 26 jobs, 2 years, 5 different colleges, a bunch of different things. Lost as can be, you know. Depressed and addicted and bound by things. I got born again January 10th, 2002. And, you know, Caleb, stop that. And so then as I was going forth with God, you know, and trying to get faithful with him and different things, and I never fully gave my life to him. Never fully settled in with him. Just kind of going through the motions, you know, still sick, still broke, still has struggling addictions and things. And I stopped from giving my heart to him fully because I was terrified that I would go be called to be a missionary. You've heard that story. China or Africa is where he's going to send me. China or Africa. Well, I don't want to go to China or Africa. I thought that's not where I want to go, you know. And life just kept being hard. And so finally I sold out to God and said, I don't care. Send me to China or Africa. It's got to be better than this. Amen. See, the thoughts that the devil's given you for selling out to God are just to keep you from selling out to God. Because that's where the blessings are. I'll tell you right now, right this second, the Holy Ghost has revealed things to me personally about people's lives, and I could read your mail so bad right now. I'm telling you, just in a snapshot, and in the conversation I'm having in my mind is like, man. If they would just make that adjustment. If they would just make that adjustment. But they're blinded. Say, Pastor, you just say stuff. No, I don't just say stuff. I take this seriously. Snapshot, just like that. It's like, oh, okay. Just make adjustment, but too many things. Too many things in the way. Yep. I just want to help people. That's all I want to do is help people. Well, I sold out to him, and it wasn't too long after that. It might have been the next service or the service after that. I was in a church service, and I heard the words out loud during the salvation call. Go to Rhema. I don't know if that was the voice of God, voice of angel, voice of Jesus. I knew it was God, though. Go to Rhema. Well, I looked up because I thought somebody's yelling, go to Rhema in the church. So I looked up and looked around. Pastor Michael didn't break a stride with the salvation call. He's praying. Everybody else still has their heads bowed and eyes closed. The hair on my body stood up, and I began to weep because I knew finally I heard from God. I knew what to do in my life. So I went to Winter Bible Seminar in February down in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and was there because I went to Rhema, like the Lord said to do, where Brother Hagin was. Well, when I got there, I knew I wasn't supposed to just be there for Winter Bible Seminar. I was supposed to go to school there and the following August. So I set my heart to go there. And so the word was go to Ramah. Now remember, what does the word meant to do? Bring fruit, bring increase, bring blessings, bring help. Amen? That's what the word is supposed to do. Well, what does the happens when the word goes forth? There arose a great storm. Tests and trials and persecutions. Why? For the
word.
Why? Because the word is the only thing that produces the fruit. So if he can get the word, he can get the fruit. Well, the word for me was go to Ramah. Well, I did. And when I got to Ramah, oh, they arose. Now remember, I was there on my own accord. Family didn't help me give me any money, and they shouldn't have because I was unstable. You know, they didn't know I'd gotten born again. They didn't know the change that had happened in me. And you don't just have to just believe people. They need to prove some things, right? They've wasted their money on me. And so I went there. I said, I'm going to be a preacher. Man, I got the eye rolls. Preacher now. Oh, geez. And so I went there and was on my own. Had to get a full-time job and go to school full-time to just barely meet my bills. Pay for my, I mean, this was brand new for me. You're talking about someone that didn't ever experience anything like this, having to be responsible, you know, as a young man. And I get out there and the gas lines in my truck rust out and I'm just, it's coming out as fast as it's going in. It's just stinking up everything and my gas lines are broke. So I take it to the mechanic that's nearby and he tells me how much it's going to be. And I'm thinking the whole time, I'm already depressed that I'm in Oklahoma. It's already getting to be close to hunting time. I'm away from everything I know and was comfortable. It just was terrible. I hated it. Hated it. I thought that this has to be the wilderness. Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, it's got to be the wilderness. I mean, why would anybody in their right mind come here? And so I'm thinking, I can't pay for this. What in the world am I going to do? And the thought was, life was a lot easier back in New York. I had a preacher tell me he'd pay for me to go to Bible school in New York and give me a full-time job when I got out. Well, what was that test and trial come for? The word. What was the word? Go to Ramah. Don't go to Ramah and come home because your truck breaks down. Well, I believe God learned faith. That was the thing. I learned faith when I was there. Got past financial things many times. Had miracle signs and wonders happen. Yeah, I'll say that because it's need to be told and I'm supposed to be an example to you. You know that tithe check that I would write from the Reese's Deli? You all remember when I worked at Reese's Deli with my boss named Squeaky? Remember Squeaky? That's what her name was. I don't know if she had another name, but that's what we knew her as, Squeaky. You know that tithe check I got from working? Oh, that would have been real nice in my pocket. Oh, that would have been real nice to spend on extra food. Oh, that would have been real nice to use that for, I'm not going to rob. I said, I'm not going to rob. Oh, I'm believing God for a spouse. Oh, I'm believing God for a house. Oh, I'm believing God for this. Oh, I'm believing God for that. Oh, I'm believing God for this. Stick them up, sir. I need him. I'm not going to rob from the one I need. And a lot of people struggle unnecessarily financially and things break down and things don't work out for them because they rob God. Oh, that tithe would have been nice to hold on to. Sure, it would have been. But I'm not robbing God. I could have used that for my truck. No way, I'm not robbing God. Take my electric away. Take my heat away. I'll just live on ramen noodles, or what they call Ramah noodles back then. A lot of people would eat. You know, you're struggling financially. And I believe God and got through that test and trial. Learned faith. Got through that test and trial. Well, then what happens? At that time, the worst sickness that I was ever aware of in my life came to me. Three separate infections, throat, ears, respiratory system. I had lost over about, I think it was total about 25 pounds, came home at Christmas time and I was unrecognizable. I was thinner back then, so losing 25 pounds back then was not a good thing. I'm just happy now I can finally button my suits again. I mean, I got a problem with liking food. Do you have a problem with liking food? I like it too much. And I lost 25 pounds, you know, missed 2 weeks of school at a faith healing Bible school, stayed in my closet, sick as can be. I'd never been so sick. That's when I got introduced to Little House on the Prairie. That was the only thing good that came out of it. I never saw the show Little House on the Prairie. I watched the first episode. This thing is awesome. I love this show. So I sat there sick and watched Little House on the Prairie. And so that happened to me. Why? Tests and trials. When I came home at Christmas time, oh, you better believe I just wanted to stay home. I was like, man, nothing's good to happen to me since I've been to this school. Praise God. But I look back now and I see, man, the things I learned in those tests, I learned to stand for my healing. I learned to stand for my finances. I learned to control my thoughts. I was under, Brother Hagin had passed when I got there, but I was under his teaching. That was before Ramah kind of started taking a turn south. I'd never send my kid there now. I'm just here to tell you, I'd never do it. If you want to know why, you can come ask me later. It's just the truth. It's changed. Changed the instant Brother Hagin died, that school started to change. And when his influence was gone. Not bad people, not saying they are, but that's just the truth. And so anyways, the things I learned there would not be where I am today without that experience. Amen. Amen. It's the truth. When I started to get a salary from this place after over two years, and when I talk about salary, I say that very lightly because sometimes it would be $100, sometimes it might be $400. It just depends on how much extra was over the needs. And this went on. I pastored this place. No one will ever be able to accuse me of being it for the money. Nope, sorry, I got facts. I pastored this place for over 2 years with zero coming back to me for working all that I did, all the praying, all the times meeting people, driving out here for two services a week, got zero money for it. And there was no hope of any money for it until the place grew and got financially on its own. Amen? It's true. Just doing what God said to do. Well, when I finally started getting paid, the Lord led us for her to quit her job. I said, what? I remember getting that word clearly in my heart in a service at Pastor Michael's church. Dropped in my heart. She's to quit now, and you're to pastor the church full time. It'll help the church more, and the church will grow and be more strong and healthier. Well, I'm like, Lord, I'm just starting to get somewhat of a kind of a decent pay, whereas if she quits, that's going to, again, put us below. Because once I started getting paid, we weren't $2,000 short any month, and we paid off the $60,000 worth of debt, which made our monthly payments a lot less every month. But I said, now you're asking her to walk away from her job? She's our breadwinner. I need her to work. Don't do it, Lord. She's fine working. I'm telling you, she likes it. Let's keep her there. I'll tell you, and I heard from heaven. I heard from heaven. Well, what was the word for her to quit her job? Well, what does the word do? Produces fruit and increase. But what does the Bible say about the word? That tribulation, persecution, tests, and adversities arise for the word's sake. All of a sudden, she quits her job. That's like a week or two later, and you had to put like your 2-week notice, and you were still done working yet. And you put a month notice for what you're doing. That's like 2 weeks after she put in her resignation to quit her job. So they're on the look for someone. I started having pains in my stomach. In the world's going on. And I remember going to my mom, the bank at my mom, she worked at Frewsbury, the bank, and I walked in and I couldn't even stand up. Oh my gosh, what in the world is going on? Well, then the Saturday the Kentucky Derby came, and Caleb was napping during that time of the afternoon that it was, and she took a nap during that time. And I'm laying in the recliner, between the recliner and the floor, in the fetal position on the floor. And I am in just the worst pain I've ever experienced in my life. Couldn't figure it out, but then all of a sudden I had a release. I thought, ooh, that feels nice and warm. And I thought in my dumb head, without even going to the bathroom, I thought I must have just passed a kidney stone. Well, how do you do that without going to the bathroom? But I was like, the pain was there, the pain's not there anymore. Maybe it just peeled. And so I thought, that's great. Well, what I didn't know was that was the moment that my appendix had ruptured. 3 days later, when your appendix ruptures, the poison goes through your body. 3 days later, I'm at the Jamestown Church at a Brother Chris D'Amico meeting. I'm sitting where Pastor Tim usually puts me. He likes to put me center. He says, I know it's the second row, Pastor Mike, but it's behind me. I want you to have the good seat. I say, put me wherever you want. I don't care where you put me. Pastor Michael comes over to me and says, come sit with me. So I'm like, oh, I don't want to move. I mean, I'm hurting. And I'm sitting there, and Brother Chris calls me up to have hands laid on me. And he, if you ever see Brother Chris D'Amico ministry, he's not gentle. And there's nothing spiritual about my end of this. He laid hands on my stomach. I thought I was going to die. He nailed me. And I got up off the floor and went to my seat. And in that service, I was freezing cold, and yet sweat was pouring down my face, and my suit was soaked. And I got up in the middle of that service, and I hobbled, got in my truck, and got to the house. And when I got to the house, told her I'm going to the hospital. And, you know, I never claimed to be the smartest guy. I had a hospital 5 minutes from me. I drove 25 minutes to Warren. That's where I was comfortable being, and I'm lucky I didn't pass all the way there. I got into the waiting room and dropped and passed out right on the floor. Well, they rushed me into surgery. Next thing I know, I wake up, and they say, your appendix, and the doctor says, it's the by far the worst appendix I've ever seen in my life. Well, then I told him the story. He said, I don't know how you're not dead. That's what he told your parents. I don't know how he's not dead. Well, we know how I'm not dead. But my point is this. What happens is now she quits her job that had the insurance, and I don't have any insurance, and I'm just about to get insurance for the church. And they slapped me with a $40-some thousand hospital bill. Well, what was my temptation? You're going back to work. Go tell your boss right now. Well, why? What was the word? What was the devil trying to do? Take the word. Take the word from you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We believe God. All the money came in. Didn't pay one penny for that. She quit her job, went forth, the church grew, and people were blessed. But he comes for the word. Now, what about when you're excited about tithing, you see results on tithing, and then bam, your business takes a turn, or something breaks down, or something that, oh, I could use that money. And the word says to bring the tithe to the storehouse. Bring it belongs to God. What's that word meant to do? Produce in your life. But what happens? A test or a trial rises up. To what? Get the word out of your life. Get you from backing off the word. Get you from doing the word. And you stop doing it. Because in your mind, you're convinced, I can't afford to do this anymore. When the truth is, you can't afford to stop. But go ahead and keep stopping and don't do God's word. Because Jesus said, the people that hear it and don't do it, things don't get better for them. Things don't also just turn around and work out. No, he said, crash is coming. A great fall is coming. That's what he said. That's why I try to encourage people, do the word, do the word, do the word. Amen?
Amen?
Why? I don't want to be a crash in your life. It's not because I'm trying to be a pest. See, when I say this, don't misunderstand my care for you. When I say whether or not you do the word or not, does it affect my life? That's what I mean. It doesn't affect my day-to-day life. It bothers me when you're hurt. It hurts me when the sheep and the people I love and give my life for, things don't work out and things go bad for them. But if you do the word or not, I'm still doing it.
Amen.
I'm still being blessed if you're not. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. What about, a test or trial comes up and persecution. Someone in the church, someone does something. You offended, you get mad. Stop coming to church. Well, what's the word to come to church for? For you to be blessed. And things rise up and people stop coming. It happens all the time. It happens all the time. What about when Pastor Mike preaches on walking in love? What's walking in love, that word meant to do? Produce. Fuel your faith. The Bible says faith is fueled by love. And I preach on love and you're like, yeah, I'm walking in love. And bam, you walk out and somebody wrongs you. Somebody does something to you. What's that? A test or a trial coming for the word. And when you walk into backbiting and bitterness and strife and talking bad about the person and start walking out of love, what just happened? The word was taken from you. That word of walking in love was meant to produce and bless you, and it got taken from you from a test or a trial. Amen.
Amen.
Now look what it says in verse 17. It says, they have no root in themselves, and they endure but for a time. After, when affliction or persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Offended. I remember we looked at this a little while ago in a message that we preached, I think it was two Wednesdays ago, talking about being a protector of the word, part two. So I'm not going to go into all of it, just kind of give you an overview. Because Nettie said there was sweets today. So we have to get to the other side, because there's sweets on the other side. So I'm trying to get us there. And sweets. Got your sweet tooth ready today. That word offended there. To stumble or to fall away. To cause a person to begin to distrust and to desert the one whom he ought to trust and obey. To be offended in one or somebody. Now, spiritually speaking, it's talking about, in this context, God and the sower. Who's your main sower in your life? Pastor Mike. Or your pastor. If you call me your pastor, then I'm your main sower in your life. And how many of you know, like I had mentioned to you before, the majority of the word that you've learned on healing, the Holy Ghost, on faith, on walking in love, did not come from your personal private study time. Just as it didn't mine. It came from sitting under the sowing of the word, and I was enlightened on things, right? And the pastor, how many of you know you should always trust God? Yeah. You should be able to trust your pastor's role in your life. Now, that doesn't mean if you start to see things and he starts going south and he starts not going with the word, yes, run for the hills. But if you can't trust your pastor and the guiding and leading of your pastor, you're in the wrong place. Because the sheep and the shepherd, it's a relationship that the sheep cannot live without. Can't live without. They're scattered, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And so what happens is a lot of times, and we saw an example when I pointed out that John the Baptist was offended at Jesus because he got a test or trial. Well, John, in, I think it's John chapter 1, around verse 29, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." He saw him, he said, "Behold, there he is." He says, I've come to baptize. He said, "I, John, saw a dove come out of heaven, land on him, and a voice from heaven say, but this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased." John knew it was him. And then when John had a test and trial, he started not trusting Jesus, saying, "Send some disciples and make sure this is the one." What do you mean? You testified earlier that he's, "Behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. I saw a dove come out of heaven, land on him, and say." Well, when tests and trials come, and persecutions and afflictions, it starts to get in your head because pastor's preaching the word. And things are going south in your life. I'm preaching on healing and you're getting sick. I'm preaching on finances and you're getting broke. And then you start to get mad at me and mad at him. I'm here to tell you, God and your pastor are not your problem. The devil's your problem. We saw they did it to Jesus. We saw they did it to Moses. They do it to God all the time. I want to finish with this story and tell you a couple other tidbits about this, because there's two parts to this. Being offended, falling away, persecutions, tests, rise up, try to get the word out of your life from doing the word, and then to be offended at the word. When I was at Rhema, all of a sudden another test and trial rose up in my life. This was when my dad had a stroke in April of 2004. And it's 50-50 whether he's going to live or not. And the first time I visited my dad, I didn't know what to expect. He sat up out of that bed and tried to choke me and tried to go after me. He was not in his right mind, and it blew me away. You know, always, my dad was big in my eyes, and here he was, and he wanted to kill me. The stroke had messed him up that bad, and they induced a coma in him and things to help him, because it wasn't good. Well, he lived through it, but he was forever changed. And the way the situation was, in talking with Pastor Michael and talking to God about it, because I didn't know, what do I do? Would I go back to Rhema? If I go back to Rhema, what's my dad going to do? He has nobody to take care of him. Nobody is around to do that. Everybody else is gone and moved away. And I was aware of this. I said, "Pastor Michael, the Lord told me to come to Rhema. What should I do?" He said, "Well, seek God on it." I did seek God. I went to Pastor Michael. I said, "I have a leading that if I can just finish my first year, then I can study under you." And he said, "It's confirmed. The Lord didn't tell you to graduate from Rhema. The Lord didn't tell you to stay a certain amount of time. He just told you to go there. And if you feel in your heart you're released from doing that, I said, yeah, okay, so they sent my schoolwork home, the tapes home on class. I did all the tapes at home and stuff and finished my first year and then studied under Pastor Michael. But what happened was I was spending 16 hours a day at the nursing home, and test and trial rose up to what? To get me offended, to begin to distrust and desert the one person that I ought to be able to trust and obey, my pastor. You know, the guy that led me out of so much, the guy that taught me so much in that time, the guy that helped me so much, the guy that I would sing the praises about. Well, I began to distrust and desert him. Why? Because I got offended immediately when tests and trials come. The Bible says they are offended. Well, what? He's not coming around enough. He's not doing what I think he should be doing. He should be doing this. He should be doing that. Who does he? Yeah. That's what happened. And you know what happened in my life? Got sick. Financial testimony. It's true. Life was hard, wasn't it? Life was difficult when I'd show up to church and see his face and leave. Show up to church, oh yeah, preaching on that stuff and sitting there in my mind, offended, deserting and distrusting the one in whom I ought to obey. Well, what happened? The devil rose up to test and trial. I got offended. Be careful with offense, people. Be careful. The devil will challenge your relationship with me if I'm your pastor. He will get, people have told me before about the thoughts they have about me. You remember the one lady said, I got to apologize. I got to repent to you. The thoughts I'm having concerning you. And I was like, well, join the club. You know, people tell me all the time, oh, the devil's working on me about you. You know, that's such a great thing to hear, by the way. Thank you for always telling me. Can someone be a blessing to their pastor and an encouragement to their pastor? If the devil's telling you how much you hate me, you don't need to tell me. It's like walk up to someone. I just want you to know, I'm having the worst thoughts about you. I can't stand you. And she's telling me this. I thought, well, I'm just going to, because I'm sarcastic and joking. And I said, yeah, I know. You're probably dealing with thoughts about wanting to kill me. And she said, I am. Well, praise the Lord. It's a true story. True story. So, amen. To this day, the devil plants things in my head about my pastor. To this day. Now, they don't have effect on me anymore. I laugh at them now. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I don't even care if I don't agree with everything he does or how he does do things different. It's none of my business. Yeah. All I need to know is, did God put me with him? Yeah. If that's all I need to know, then nothing's going to take me away from it. Right. I don't care if I think I'd do it different, if he has a personality that I don't understand, if I'm not. It doesn't matter. Did God put you with him? That's all there is to know. Amen. I saw this. This is a true story. There was a family at the Jamestown Church. Wonderful. They had like 3 or 4 kids. I can't remember. I saw God supernaturally heal the wife's and the mom's back. Same. She was the wife and the mom. Same lady here. I saw him supernaturally heal her back. Doctors couldn't understand it. Doctors gave a testimony about, we don't get it. I saw her son have a confirmed hole in his ear. Pastor Tim prayed for him, and the hole closed up. And doctors' reports that said, we don't know what happened. I saw that. I saw her be told she could never have a baby again. That it was things that happened since she had had her kids. Could never have a baby. Well, the gentleman in her... she had all these kids from a previous marriage way before she was born again. This was like years ago. The kids were older kids. And she had just married this guy, and they're faithful and serving God, and things are happening. And they want to have a baby together. The doctor says, it's impossible for you to have a baby. I saw her get... how am I going to say that? I did not see her get pregnant. I did not see her get pregnant. One more time. I did not see her get pregnant. But in the time, I saw her as a pregnant lady. And so here's this little miracle baby in her belly. And they're excited. But you know what? They already have boys. And they're putting their faith on a girl. Now remember, back healed, ear healed, miracle baby. They go to the doctor and find out that this precious little miracle is a boy. So what do? Faith don't work. That message that Pastor Tim's preaching, it's all to line his pockets. I'm telling you, I got chills because I saw it happen. Miracles in their life. And instead of recognizing what plan must God have for this little miracle baby that you're disappointed and you already saw it once, go do what you need to do. Make another one. If you want your girl, keep going. And they left the church and left offended and spread things about that faith message is garbage. And here the back was healed, the ear was healed, and the miracle baby was put there. But what happened? It was a test to them because they had in their mind made up, I'm going to see a girl on that sonogram. And it wasn't a girl. And they thought, test and trial rose for what? The word's sake. Pulled the word right out of their life. Don't even go to church anymore. That's a true story. Holy cow. You believe that? I've seen it here. I've seen people get jobs, houses, cars, spouses, blessings and things. And something rises up in their life, a test and a trial. And the thing they used to praise, they're now bad-mouthing. Well, what happened? They got offended for the word's sake. Amen. I've made up my mind. Pastor Michael told me, and I tell Jake, hears me say it to him all the time, don't ever get offended at me. No matter what, if you don't agree with me, you don't like how I talk to you, you don't like how I say it, just, Jeff, I tell you all the time, don't I? Because he works with me closer than anybody else. And guess who gets corrected the most? Don't you? I mean, you got a baseball bat in my office specifically for you. It's not because he does so many things wrong. It's because he's all the time working closely with me. And there's certain ways I need to have things done to help me. And he's just learning as he goes. Tremendous blessing to me. Can I tell you about a story about Jeff real quick? No, you're going to like this. This is bragging on you. Now, some people say I play favorites. It's a bunch of garbage. I will do anything for anybody in this church. And if you have a thought that there's favorites in this church, I don't have a favorite. It's already a lie. I'm telling you, I don't have a favorite in this church. All the sheep are created equal in my eyes, and I love them all the same. He works with me closely, but you don't see behind closed doors. I'm like, Jeff, it's true, isn't it? And I always tell him, don't get offended at me. Don't get offended at me. And people have accused him of me paying him to be nice to me and things the devil tells people. No, they on their own accord show up here an hour and a half before everybody, 2 hours before everybody and get everything ready. They on their own accord stay long before when everybody's home and do their stuff on their own accord. I don't make them do that. It's true. I had a dream. I'm going to stand up for this one. In the dream, Jeff had died. Now, that's not a prophecy. But Jeff was gone. The point of the dream wasn't to tell me that Jeff was going to die. It was from God. In the dream, I got to feel the effects of doing this without his help. And it wasn't good for me. He brings a supply to my life. And a help to my life. And in the dream, he was gone. Now, I hear it's a while ago this happened. I know that wasn't like the Lord telling me, you better warn Jeff, he's about to croak. No, it was to show me what it would be without him. Not because I don't appreciate him, but it helped me to appreciate him more and realize the role and the supply that he brings me in my life. Amen? Hallelujah. So yeah, he's a clown at times. He's a goofball at times, but we love him. I'm so thankful for them and what they do for me and help me. Praise God. And what do I always tell you? Jeff, no matter what, don't get offended at me. Don't get offended at me because there's times I don't have time to, you know, lay down a nice soft bun before I put the hamburger in and then end it with a bun. Sometimes I just got to say, brother, I can't have this right now. This has to be changed. This has to be changed. And he's just got, sir, yes, sir, go do it. He knows I don't mean anything by it, but there'd be temptation. Hey, I show up early. I go a little late. He's talking to me like that. Don't ever get offended at me. Amen. Don't ever get offended at your pastor. I've been there. It's no fun. And that's what the devil wants to do. Why? Because the pastor's the carrier of the very thing that's causing you to grow. The Word. Amen. How many of you didn't have a clue about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and tongues until you met me? How many of you didn't know how to operate in faith and use faith until you met me? Well, what did I do? I just gave you the Word. How many didn't know what to do with your money? Didn't know how to do this with your kids? Didn't know this and that? The Word. I gave the Word. And what did it do? It produced in your life. Why wouldn't the devil try to get me out of your life? Why wouldn't he try to just, oh, you can, let me just address this. You can go to any church you want. It's your choice. Lies. Where's that in the Bible? Come on, those of you that are saying that, those of you thinking that, where is it in the Bible that it's your choice? Well, I'll just go to someone else who calls himself a pastor. Oh, you better be careful. If they're not preaching the Word, it'll show up in people's lives. And I know people that left this church that go plant in other churches. Big deal, they're in a church. Who cares? If this is not a church that's teaching the Word, their kids are messed up, their finances are messed up, their marriages are messed up. Well, I'm in a church. I get so mad at this stuff because I hate the devil. He's such a liar. People buy it. It's America. I can do whatever I want to. Yeah, you can. Absolutely you can. But you're going to get some things that you don't want either. You go, and if you're telling people, go wherever you want, it's your choice. You are a tool of the devil being used by the devil. Because you're not speaking truth. You can't. Without it affecting your life majorly. You go where you're called. And where you're called, you plant. You stay there and you be faithful no matter what. Well, I don't like the worship team. So what? Well, I don't like the kids program. So what? Well, I don't like they don't have a youth group. So what? Did God tell you to be there? That's the end of the story. Trying to keep you safe, praise God. And the devil will give tests and trials that will put a divide between you and me. If I'm called to be your pastor, why? To get the Word out of your life. Amen. Amen. Well, were you helped? Amen. Let's close so we can get to those sweets. Hallelujah. Father, we love you today. We're so grateful for the Word, Father. Father, I'm so passionate about this. Not because I think everybody's called to be here. I don't believe that for a second. Now, Father, I believe in this area, you're not going to find anything like it. Signs, wonders, miracles, the ministers that come in, the gifts of the Spirit. That's why you put us here. But Lord, is everybody in the world called the family church in South Dayton? No. But Father, I've seen people that are called here, who they recognize they were called here, who I recognize through praying that they're called here. They're my sheep. Because Jesus said he knows his sheep. The shepherd knows their sheep. A shepherd knows the sheep that are in their flock, the sheep that are to be in their flock. I know those sheep, Father, and I know people I've walked away that I know are supposed to be here this morning, that I know they're supposed to be under this covering in this water, not because of me, because of what you said. And Lord, I see it affect their lives. I've seen it hurt people. I've seen them get twisted in their mind and go off, and things don't get better for them. And so, Lord, that's why I'm passionate about it. And Lord, we're not trying to manipulate anybody to stay here. I'm telling people, stay where you're called. Go where you're called. Plant where you're called. Wherever it is that you're called, be faithful and don't get offended. If it's here, that's what you do here. If it's somewhere else, that's what you do somewhere else. But don't allow the devil to take the Word from your life. Father, I pray that the people here that this morning that hear the Word on tithing, hear the Word on walking in love, hear the Word on tongues, hear the Word on different things, that they wouldn't let the devil rob that from them and choke that seed and not let it grow in their life and produce to what it needs to produce. I speak a blessing over this congregation, Father, of encouragement. And I pray that this Word would bury deep down inside them. And that, Father, that they would walk this out and be doers of it and experience the fruit that you have for them. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I know in this room right now, every single person here has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I know that for a fact. But there might be people listening right now or listening in the future when the archive is posted. They've never received Jesus. Jesus, if you're listening and you've not received Jesus, is the only way to heaven. Say, Pastor, that seems kind of closed-minded. And that's what he said. He said, I'm the only way, John 14:6, the truth and the life. No man can go to the Father who resides in heaven, by the way, except through him. That's what he said. But then he said it's easy to accept him. You don't have to jump through religious hoops or do religious cartwheels or have perfect church attendance or have all your I's dotted, your T's crossed and everything, ducks in a row, all that. No. The Bible says if you'll believe that he died and rose again, you say, that's hard to believe in my head. Belief doesn't come from the head, it comes from the heart. In your heart of hearts, do you believe that he died and that he rose again? You can't explain it with your head, maybe, but in your heart, you know it's true. That's the first qualification. If you can say, yeah, I do believe Jesus is real, and I do believe that story that he died and rose again. In my heart, I can't explain it, but I believe that. Well, that's the first qualification. Second qualification is to then receive him. The devil believes that Jesus died and rose again. He saw it happen. But the devil will never receive him into his heart. So if you're listening, you say, I've never done that. I want to do that. It's simple. You just have to pray a prayer that is sincere and has meaning behind it. And all you're going to do is you're going to declare your belief in Jesus and you're going to ask him into your heart. And it sounds something like this. You're going to say, Lord, I do believe you died and rose again. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. If you'll do that, he'll come in and take up residency. If you'll do that, you'll become a child of God. And now your next step is to plant in a Bible teaching church. Wait a second, I thought you said church wasn't heaven. No. Heaven is not a requirement. Church is not a requirement for heaven. But I'm not sad to say it, if you don't like church, it is a requirement for abundant life. It is a requirement for heaven on earth because you can't get there without hearing the word and letting the word grow in your life. So I encourage you to plant a Bible teaching church. Do the word that you hear and watch God bless you. Father, we thank you. Can we stand to our feet and worship him? Now remember what we talked about on Wednesday night about loving him. I know it's getting later and we're going to dismiss and there's food waiting, there's lunch to be had and things to do on a Sunday. But let's just worship him. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done. Lord, this is a series to keep us safe. It's a series to correct wrong thinking. It's a series to correct wrong behavior. It's a series to get people out of barren into fruit producing. It's so simple, Father. I pray that people would get it, Father. It's so simple. To live a blessed life is so simple. It just takes a little cooperation. Father, thank you for making it easy. Praise your holy name. Bless your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll see you Wednesday at 6:30. You are dismissed.